It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 304. Let's get right to the calls. I've talked enough. This is for you. This is your night, Met fans. Tonight is your night, bro. Moments like this are special. And who knows what'll happen in the next series? Like, honestly, who knows? I'm positive with the Mets. I really am. How could you not be? But this is a moment worth celebrating. I know it's only the DS, but haven't been to too many NLCSs. I mean, the Yankees are now one game away from, you know, pretty much going there every other year since 2017. It'd be nice to, like, move on from the ALCS. Vince in Westchester. What's up, Vince?
Hey, C-Mac. Nice to talk to you, man. And thank you for all the good work you do. I love listening to you.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Listen, I'm a 73-year-old guy, and I've been a Mets fan forever, okay? And had the pleasure of being at the Game 3 of the World Series in 1969. So, something special. But it's always great to see something like this happening. First off, in answer to your question about why Lindor went around the bases, without any real emotion or anything like that, he answered the question after the game, and he said that basically it was because the job wasn't done. And he just wanted to stay focused and until, you know, they got the game down. And so that was the answer to that.
Okay. It seemed even more downplayed than just even that would be for me. I thought there was, like, I was just very surprised with his lack of just, even in the handshakes in the dugout didn't seem like he was that inspired to do it. It was odd a little bit, but I mean, what a crazy home run, a great moment.
Oh, unbelievable. Yep. You're right. And I also agree with you. Before they brought Diaz in, I was saying, oh, man, I hope they're going to leave Peterson in, man. I wanted to see him finish this because I just couldn't deal with the excitement of having Diaz come in here and potentially blow the save, which would have just made me totally crazy. So
yeah.
So as it turned out, I mean, we, you know, it worked out. But I used to feel that way about John Franco. when he used to come in. I say, that guy is Mr. Freaking Excitement. I can't watch.
The Mets have had their share of them. Armando Benitez has kind of been a guy of excitement. There's been some.
Yeah, right.
You know, Jury's familiar with somebody who would create excitement. You know, and then there's Braden Looper. You know, they've had some interesting back end of the bullpen characters, no doubt.
Yeah, it's fun now, and I'm glad we're getting to see this again. You know, thanks for your.
You got it, Vince. I appreciate it. This is some kind of night, some kind of party. I mean, I know they say nothing good happens after 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. except this show, of course. Right now, I would find it hard to sleep. I mean, this is just what they're doing here is special. And that Lindor home run. And think about it. I was talking with Mike on the other side during the break. I called them dead. There you go. Hold on.
They are dead.
They are dead.
I'm willing to call it now. This Met team is dead.
That's right. Called them dead. June 3rd, the year of our Lord, 2024. And if you think about where they were, that was during the series against Arizona, which was following the Dodgers series. Right. Right. When you think to that moment where Jorge Lopez throws his glove into the stands and that team meeting is called, they're playing the Dodgers. They're playing the Dodgers. And the Dodgers were, you know, quite clearly on their way to the season they ended up having. And the Mets were clearly on their way to having a disastrous year to the point where idiots like me were calling them dead. And maybe I'm the only one who admits it, but I am not the only one who said it. That is for sure. So think about where these two teams, if they play the Dodgers, if it ends up being the Dodgers, think about where they'll meet next week and where they were in June. And the transformation of what this Met team has become. Like, it's just, it's crazy. It's one of the crazier stories. Like, considering where they were, 11 games under 500, like, the season starts with Gary Cohen talking about them being 0-5, being no hit with no one in the building, and it feeling like rock bottom. They are currently at the complete antithesis of rock bottom. You can't be further away from rock bottom than where the Mets are right now. It's not just the crazy 2 weeks, although the heroics have been a crazy 2 weeks, but it's a crazy 4 or 5 months where this team, you know, dug this hole of 11 games under 500 and are now about to play in the NLCS. And I'll tell you the truth, I feel like they're going to win it. It's just a remarkable story. Chris in Farmingdale. What's up, Chris?
Hey, C-Mac. You know, you're not an idiot because I was right with you after that series when they lost to the Dodgers. And I remember, I think it was after that series, I remember watching Mike Francesa's podcast on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, Steve Cohen better watch out here because, you know, come July, the Mets might be a severe afterthought, and talking to the Yankees.
Yeah.
Here we are. And I was at the bar tonight in the city. I wanted to go to the bar that they kept showing on Facebook and about how crazy it was. And I was there, and I was down a little bit. When Lindor hit that home run, I'm watching the screen. I felt like I had an out-of-body experience. And I felt like I don't even remember myself getting up from I was sitting down. I remember myself, I felt like I was floating, and I just hugged a whole bunch of Met fans, and we're high-fiving, tears spilling everywhere, and I'm like, I can't, I'm like, don't wake me up now, don't wake me up, I just couldn't believe it, and I'm like, I don't want to go back to Philly, and I do believe in this team, but the fact is, like, if we lose to this team, to the Phillies, we have to hold our heads down in shame every time we see a Phillies fan or go to the Mets play the Phillies next year. We got to go to Citizens Bank. If you want, hey, Frank goes, hey, you want to go to Citizens Bank? The Mets are playing. You know, you got a friend in Philly somewhere. Okay. And then you go there like, oh, I'm a little embarrassed. Now we can go there with a head held high because we're not the, oh, it's the Mets. Oh, they're going to screw it up somehow. We're not that, oh, it's the Mets anymore. I mean, it's a total transformation. And the fact that we could have probably played the Dodgers, we're one game away from meeting the Dodgers where this all started from. I mean, this was maybe 2 series before Grimace, but this is where it started. I mean, you can't script it.
No.
And another thing about this team being 11 games under 500, I keep relating this team to the 2019 Nationals, but I don't want to say what everybody's thinking because I don't want to jinx it. I just don't want to say that magical word. But they were 12 games under 500, and it was at the end of May, and they turned it around, and they had that baby shark. We had the OMG and Grimace.
Right.
I'm just saying it's like a complete comparison to what they did.
Yeah, I mean it's similar. I feel like the Mets were pretty bad. It's hard to even remember now, but that team was really bad. And their bullpen was atrocious, and it turned into a strength for them by the end of the year. But that's what you're trying to emulate, I suppose. But now it just feels like they're unstoppable. And that's why I love baseball. You got to get 27 outs. There's no clock. There's no taking a knee. You have to go out and get the outs. And right now the Mets make that as difficult as any team has made it in recent memory. It's every night. The Phillies' back end of the bullpen had zero answers. Like, zero. Tommy in Freehold. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, you know, man. How's everything?
Good. How are you?
All right. I'm right with you, man. From Jump Street, the beginning of the season, I took my son down to spring training for 2 days, but I wasn't liking the way the team was looking coming out of spring training. And they were proving me right the whole way, and you know, able to turn it around. It's just amazing. And to get to Diaz, I did not want to see Diaz in that last inning. I wanted them to tack on some more runs, so we didn't even have to worry about him coming in there for the ninth. Didn't happen, and he was just as expected. I mean, the guy hard time throwing strikes. Umpire was a little tight, you know, with some of the pitches, but I mean, the Phillies just went up there knowing that we don't have to swing. Just let this guy walk us until we get enough on base. And somehow he turned it around. I'm hoping that changes his confidence. He looked super pumped afterwards, and hopefully that gets him going in the right direction so we could see the Timmy Trumpets, Diaz, the rest of the way through here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I guess he's the one element of the team that I suppose scares you is the bullpen right now in Diaz. The starting pitching's been so good. And the offense, while not... I mean, the offense hasn't been dynamic or really dangerous throughout the whole game. They just have these rallies by the end. They're gonna get theirs. So I guess what could scare me is eventually running into a game or a bullpen where you can't have the heroics and eventually the magic stopping on some level. And then the other thing that scares me is Diaz and Maton and Buto, who you rely on at the back end of the bullpen, who haven't been as good as they were in the second half of the season. Had some hiccups here. Now, Maton was really dramatically overused for a bit, needed to be, and hopefully he could get a real legitimate chance to catch his breath here. As what day is the Friday's the do they start Sunday, Monday? What's the first day of the
ALCS? NLCS game 1 and 2 are Sunday, Monday,
Sunday,
ALCS
Monday.
Monday, Tuesday. So we have Sunday night, you'll have Mets game 1, whoever they're playing against, Giants Sunday night football.
Yeah.
And then Monday, you'll have what are the game? They'll do like maybe 5 and 5:30. And
right.
Then
well, don't say it yet. You'll have an ALCS game.
Well, you'll have definitely, right. You'll have the Mets and you'll have an ALCS game. And Jets Monday Night Football.
Right. That's
and the following Sunday, if there's a game 6 of the NLCS, Jets Sunday Night Football.
Right. That's
and I believe the AL is off that day, so it'll be 2 8:00 games.
Ugh. Monday.
And somewhere in there, you know we're getting like an open night.
Yeah, I know. Right. There'll be a 5-hour open. Oh, there's going to be a bunch. But yeah, the idea that in those nights we'll have those two things to talk about. And we talk about the open. Like, is there any way.
How great would that be for the Jets if you have the two baseball teams playing a playoff game?
And they lose to Buffalo.
Right,
killed by Buffalo.
Nobody's paying attention to them.
Yeah. But I don't know. If they win and Aaron Rodgers throws, like, does it lead? Or say Yankees Judge walk-off home run, game one of the ALCS, up against Rodgers, throws three touchdown passes and beats Buffalo. The Jets beating Buffalo is probably the open.
And but then you're like, what about the, like, what if one of the teams loses? I think a loss probably shoots them to the top.
I guess.
But you're right. Could you imagine all of that happening? You know, Mets win and either they're tied 1-1 or they're up 2-0 going home. Yankees win game one. Jets technically in first place.
Yeah. Giants. And we could have, and if the Giants, mean,
if the Giants
Bengals,
win that Sunday night
Bengals
game.
Bengals are 1-5. Giants are 3-3. In a tougher division than the, and with now Washington looking
but
like.
But still 500.
No,
and,
shocking.
Right.
To beat Seattle, followed up by beating Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals on
the
Sunday.
The problem with that is, like you said, the Mets don't play nondescript games. So the Yankees might have a ho-hum win or a
ho-hum loss.
Whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
The Mets game, something notable comes out of all these games.
Yep. No, every night.
What an incredible time to be around New York sports.
It's so awesome. Do you remember last year? It was the exact opposite. I was a curse. I started this job as I ripped the headphones.
We know it's not you. We know it's not you.
What's that?
We know it's not you.
Yeah, now we know it's not me, thankfully, yeah. Because this is as good as it's ever been. I mean, this is as good as it's been in a long time.
I've been here a long time. You've been here even longer.
Yeah, I've been here 17
Never
years.
Never witnessed anything like this. It's what's already been a couple weeks and will continue for at least one more.
Right. No, it's true. Right now you've got the Mets doing something. Let's just be honest. I'm not trying to be. They don't do ever. The Yankees are kind of doing what they sometimes do. They'll blow it in the playoffs, but they're usually there. The football teams are typically, one of them is bad. The Jets haven't made the playoffs in 13 years.
And right now, they both don't have great records, but they're not irrelevant.
They're not irrelevant.
They're both in it.
And the Jets are extremely
And the Jets are the biggest dysfunctional story in sports.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are just flat out interesting while still being in it.
You also have the Rangers opened their season
with
a couple hours ago with a big
win.
They have aspirations of a title.
Right.
The Knicks are about to start.
It's true.
They just traded for Carl
traded
Anthony
for
Towns.
Carl Anthony Towns. They have legitimate NBA championship aspirations. Like, this is crazy. Last year,
Islanders and Devils are probably, like, both playoff teams. Devils might be another cup contender.
Yeah.
Like,
a lot going on. It's not me, but last year when I started this job,
the Liberty Yankees... game one of the finals coming up.
Wow, New York has turned it around.
And to beat Philly is just what a great step in all this.
Doubt.
Just long road to get there.
Yeah, and if you think the Knicks beat Philly, now the Mets have beat Philly.
Like, if you're a New Yorker, like, even, like, you know, when the Giants are playing the Eagles in a playoff game, if you're a Jets fan, not that there's really a rivalry there, but, like, you're rooting for the Giants. For New York to beat Philly, even if you are a Yankees, like, you want to see Philly go down.
Absolutely. I saw that, obviously, our old program director was in the building for these last couple of games. That's got to be fun. After he cut the promo of calling all of New York a bunch of losers.
Could you imagine being a fan of the team? Evan and Tommy are like, are you rooting for the other team and watching the game? Lost
watching that Grand
with
Slam.
The two of them?
Yeah, watching Evan jump up and down with his book. Watching Tommy. Tommy's, you know, amongst his people walking out of Citi Field, probably just like, you know, literally standing there. Come to me. Like, literally, like Tommy. He's, you know, he's Tommy's holiday camp. It is a crazy time. Because last year, like I was saying, last year I started the Yankees. No Judge. Yankees were in the worst regular season they've had in, 30 years.
The Mets were traded Scherzer and Verlander like 10 days after your first show.
My first show, the Mets traded at the deadline. So they were punting on the season, so that was over.
Aaron Rodgers went down four plays. Well, actually, Sunday night, Giants lose 40-0.
Monday
then you're
night.
Like hoping that the Jets can save you.
Yes.
And then four plays in, Rodgers
goes down. The Giants season falls apart within the first couple weeks. We knew what the Jets were without Aaron Rodgers. Like, it was just a dumpster fire.
Where we were talking ourselves into, or some people were, and you were talking them out of, Zach Wilson and Tommy DeVito.
That's what we had last year, Zach Wilson and Tommy DeVito. Now we've got the Mets already in the NLCS, the Yankees one game away from the ALCS, the Giants with a really surprising and good win against Seattle looking to take on a Bengals team that would have seemed like a very, very difficult game at the start of the year, and although they're still very good in many ways, their offense can be, they're 1-4 trying to salvage their season. The Jets already fired Saleh. battling with Buffalo for first place in their division. No matter what happens, it's a story coming out, waiting on Hassan Reddick, going to trade for Davante Adams, possibly. Like a million things going on with them.
And forgot about that. That's going to, one day next week, might get a headline. It could even happen in the next 2 days. Right. Davante Adams traded to the Jets.
They're going
to
they're going to be in first place, trade for Davante Adams, Met or Yankee postseason game. Like, just crazy. A lot going on. Right, the Knicks are legitimate contenders. The Rangers are legitimate contenders and just pounded the Pirates, the Penguins 6-0. Like, it's crazy.
And we talked about it, you know, with the first playoff time they're in together since 2006.
Yeah.
If the Yankees do close out the Royals either tonight or in Game 5, it's the first time they're both in the LCS since 2000.
Yeah.
24 years is a long time since we experienced something like this.
A long time. It's been a long time since we've had baseball like this, right? And the last time it happened, I mean, now we're going to start to get close. Because let's be honest. The Central teams aren't that good. And whoever wins that series, and if the Yankees are lucky enough, I am more worried. Even up 2-1 right now. And I know this is stupid because they haven't even played the next series. I kind of feel more worried that they're going to lose the next two games and be out of this series than I am them losing the ALCS to either of those two teams next round. Like, I'm more worried that Cole, for whatever reason, doesn't have the bounce back, is the same bad Cole that he was in game one. They somehow stub their toe, don't score runs against a guy like Michael Wacha, who has traditionally, even when Judge is going good, has been able to get out Judge. They lose a weird game, whatever. And then game five back at Yankee Stadium with, I'm not sure who they're even starting against Kansas City's ace. I am more concerned about these next two games for the Yankees than I would be once they get through and Judge has an opportunity to get hot and they're playing, you know, two teams that I don't believe to be very good. I would feel better about that series than I am about these next two games. Right, and it's usually with a seven-game series, typically, the cream will rise to the top and the better overall team has a better opportunity to win the longer series. So, like, in my mind, if the Yankees win one of the next two games, I'm really confident they're going to the World Series. If they can figure out a way to get through this series, I think they're going to the World Series. And I honestly believe, Evan asked me when I was in here the other day, the likelihood of there being a Subway Series, do you think it's going to happen? I said, no, someone's going to get their toe stubbed. I think if the Yankees win tonight, we've got a really good chance of it. Now, I don't want to, you know, be cliche radio guy and try and drum up that already. We still have, you know, a seven-game series of both teams to get through. But, I mean, they're as close as they've been in 24 years. The last time it happened, we did see the Subway Series. And honestly, as hot as the Mets are and the competition, and I'm not even talking up the Yankees. Like, as hot as the Mets are and the competition that the Yankees will face, that would be freaking nuts. That would be nuts.
Based on everything we've said about how New York sports are going,
yeah,
it's not that crazy. Would seem like the next step.
It's not crazy. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back still with more of your phone calls. We will start the transition to the Yankees, but it's a celebratory night for the Mets. The Yankees haven't done anything just yet. Good win. I'm going to yell about Giancarlo Stanton. We're going to talk about Judge. We'll talk about Cole going tonight. But still, Met fans, if you're up, or if you're just waking up, it's still a Met party right now as they have clinched a trip to the NLCS and stepping over Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies on their way to doing it with a miraculous home run from their MVP. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lindor. I mean, it doesn't get better than this.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 331. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. You know, I like to talk movies every once in a while. Me and Mike were just talking about this off the air. A couple things with movies. One, I have to go see the new Joker movie because it is getting universally just killed. It's getting panned. It's getting just nobody likes this movie. And the first one, everybody liked. I'm fascinated how bad this thing could be. I know it's kind of like... I've seen that it's a... I knew it was going to be a musical, or at least part musical. And I'm hearing that, too. I'm hearing, if you're going to do a musical, just do a musical. Like, it's not enough of a musical. It's half of a musical. I have no idea. I'm sure there's a lot of dream sequences and, like, weird stuff. I don't know. But, like, people are just killing this movie to the point where I have to go see it if it's as bad as everyone says. And then, like, there are clips coming out of it now. Now, it's FX, right? And FX just did...
FX is known for some of, like, the most prestige shows on TV. I know. And HBO.
Yeah. And I believe FX like
they,
also...
Right, they have the shows that clean up all the Emmys, Shogun. Right. They just dominated everything.
And they just had Ed O'Neill playing the owner of the Clippers. Don Sterling. In the movie about that story with the Clippers. And Lawrence Fishburne played Doc Rivers. And when I tell you... It was just, I don't know why, I caught it on TV and tried to watch it. It was so bad that it's hard to explain how bad it was. The clips coming out about the new Aaron Hernandez movie are so bad that they're like funny bad. And I know that the subject matter isn't necessarily funny. But there's a clip they just put out of him, Aaron Hernandez, and Gronk talking in the locker room. The characterization, just the straight up mocking of Gronkowski is so bad. It's so bad that it's funny. I mean, I almost have to watch it just to see if it all looks like this. And then I saw a clip of Bill Belichick in his office with the door. He locks the door. He takes a remote and he pushes it to the stereo. And he points it to the stereo. The CD starts spinning. And Bon Jovi, It's My Life, starts blasting. Like, he blasts it. And they even show you outside of his office and the secretary like staring at the door like she's surprised or not even then she gives the face like, oh, there he's in his Bon Jovi mood. And he's blasting, It's My Life, It's Now or Never. And he's like, as he's listening to it, he's like putting on his whistle and he's like getting ready. That's how he's getting ready. Listening to Bon Jovi, Bill Belichick mouthing the words to It's My Life by Bon Jovi. I was like, what is this? This is just, oh my God. It looks so bad that you almost, it's like one of those, you know, like The Room. If famously The Room is considered one of the worst things you've ever seen. They actually made a movie about the making of The Room. Like, that's how bad it is. But the Gronkowski, where he's literally just like, yo, have you met the coach yet? He's scary. And he gives you like the Herman, he gives you like the Frankenstein arms. It is so bad. He's scary, bro. Hi. My name's Gronkowski. They call me Gronk. I was like, oh my God. It's so bad. I don't know.
When Aaron says that they call me Aaron, the Gronk character goes, nice.
Nice. It's just so.
I had seen a headline about it, like, can't believe how, you know, they did, or not a headline, like somebody saying that I can't believe how dirty they did Gronk. And when you asked me if I saw it, I was like, no, I didn't have as much service. I couldn't load the video.
Yeah.
I went back to it just in this last break. And I mean, you watch, like, it's as bad as, this is what we're hoping for with Joker. Like, it's as bad as everyone is saying.
Oh, my God.
It's, the two clips I watched just now were unreal.
I know. It's so poorly done. It's amazing. And, like, you know, this is FX has had, right? I remember, I think the first real, like, big, when I think of FX, and like Nip Tuck, if you remember the show about plastic surgery and kind of like the
Rescue Me, The Shield.
The Shield. Ones, right, yeah. The Shield probably
I
even
think The
is,
Shield is first.
It's probably even before Nip Tuck, yeah. But they've had shows that have dominated, like, awards. And
Fargo wins, they put out a bunch of seasons of that. It wins a ton of stuff.
They have a lot of good
stuff.
The
Americans, like, they've had great
The Americans.
Shows.
I love The Americans.
Say what you want about HBO. Yeah. I don't know if they make too many shows like this.
They would never make something. They would never put a product that looked like this. Just even the way it's filmed. Everything about it looks terrible.
You've done it before. You brought it up before, like, really getting into the Yankees in depth.
Yeah.
And based on the clips I saw, totally justified.
Yes.
That's how bad this, like, anybody, if you later after the show, look it up online from the show.
No, it's bad. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Good morning, C Mac. So when is 99 gonna wake up and smell the coffee?
I don't know, but I have no fear that he will.
Oh, you will.
He will.
Stanton is doing his thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, Stanton's definitely doing. Yeah, Stanton, you know.
He's been their clutch hitter in the playoffs every
I've
year.
I've been saying this for a while, Stu, and thanks for the call. Let me get to the Yankees now, because now Paul wants to talk a little Yankees, too. Obviously, the Yankees get a big win in this game yesterday. Clark Schmidt does his job for the most part, gets into a little bit of trouble. The Yankees still haven't hit a lot with runners in scoring position, and they haven't come through, and Judge is still an issue, I suppose. Let me just start this with Judge. Judge's first at bat, he hit a ball about 120 miles an hour. Absolutely bullet off of Seth Lugo, who did not pitch well in this game. The Yankees kind of got to, even though it's only two runs, kind of got to him early in this game. He hits a bullet. Then he hits one that I thought was gone off the bat, gets to just about the warning track. He got out in front of it a little bit and off the end of the bat. Then he hit a decent fly ball to center field. He had better at bats in this game. I understand all that matters is the results. I'm not trying to tell you I'm satisfied with the best hitter in the world hitting a hard line drive. You got to have results in these games. He had opportunities. He had opportunities with runners on, and he didn't come through. They still win the game, and I have zero fear. And this is where, like, I heard Keith talking about this a little bit. It is okay to criticize Aaron Judge. Absolutely. If he doesn't come through, he doesn't come through. It's about results. And in these first three games, the Yankees have been lucky enough to win two of them without him performing. But he's been bad. I thought he was better in this game than he was in the first two. And he did get a walk and a single in the other game. But he's been bad, and the Yankees aren't going to win. They might get through. I know everyone's saying the same thing, but it just happens to be true. They could get through Kansas City. They might even get through the next series. I don't know. Seven-game series without Judge doing anything? Maybe not. No matter who it is. But they're not going to win the championship. They're not going to win another World Series without Judge hitting. There's just no way around it. So, yeah, when he has a bad game, you can criticize him, no doubt. What I have a hard problem with, and what I was upset the other night with, having to take calls on it, and all the nonsense around Judge, you can criticize him when he doesn't come through.
But I don't think you should make the leap to that he will never come through. And that he's a playoff dud. And that he's Mr. May. And he's going to do nothing in the next series. And he's, I got tweets, he's a guaranteed out. And he's a disaster. You got to move him out of the three spot. It's a, you know, it's an embarrassment. He'll never hit. This is who the guy is. We just have to adjust to it. Like, that's too far and, quite frankly, foolish. You want to say, hey, Judge, you got to come through. You're killing us here. Hey, Judge, you're making all this money. It's time to turn it on. Fair. Judge, we're not going to win without you. Fair. And if it's all at the end of it, he doesn't hit and they lose, we can all kill him. Fair. But off of three freaking games where the Yankees have won two of them, and I don't care about what he's done in previous postseasons all that much. I know it's a storyline, and he's been doing it for a while. I get it. You can criticize him, but to make the leap to that he will never do it, and we're screwed, and you need to hit him fifth or sixth, move him down in the lineup, I can't stand to look at him, that's where I go, you're nuts. He's the best hitter in the world, and I want him up in every big spot. That's what I want. I want Judge up in every big spot. He's got as good a chance as anybody to come through. You know why? Because he's the best hitter in the world, and eventually he's going to figure it out. I have zero worry about Judge coming through. Zero. Zero. It's going to happen. If he plays enough, if he gets through this series, they start a new series, he will come through. I have zero doubt. And I also have zero doubt about Giancarlo Stanton, who obviously is the key to this game. He hits the big home run in the, I believe, seventh inning. I should have written this all down. But yes, he hits the big home run in the eighth inning. What am I talking about? The eighth inning after they came back and tied it up. And that's like... That's why, like, we can criticize, but the negativity, like, the Yankee fans, as soon as the game is tied, it's like, here we go, they're a bunch of bums, I can't stand it anymore. It's like tied in a tie series, and we're ready to just give up on a game against the Royals. I can't take the negativity from this fan base. Bottom line, the New York Yankees won a game yesterday. Bottom line, they came through with enough runs, and Giancarlo Stanton is obviously the story of the game, and this bullpen. Who has been free, they've been terrific. But Giancarlo Stanton, who gets a ton of crap, who gets more crap than almost any other player on the team, really. He doesn't get that we can't, like, the Yankee fan understands that he's under contract. So he might not get the crap of some other guys that they can get rid of or whatever, like Gleyber Torres or at times this year. But Giancarlo Stanton, all we do is cry about his contract. They need to get rid of him. They'd be better off without him. They need to get rid of that contract so they can be more flexible. He kills them at the DH spot. I got people tweeting at me during the game when he gets on in the fourth inning. Oh, you got to pinch run for him here. I'm not pinch running for Giancarlo Stanton in the fourth or fifth inning when I know he's going to come up another two or three times. Do you know why? Because in the postseason, this guy hits big home runs. And he did it again. He takes Bubich on a 3-1 slider, probably below the zone, and hits an absolute moonshot to give the Yankees a 3-2 victory. Never mind the fact that he hit a ball in the gap to score Juan Soto. I didn't know Juan Soto scored because I watched the game. Otherwise, you would if I listened to the radio, maybe I would have known Juan Soto scored. But I happened to be watching the game, so I didn't get to see Juan Soto score. And we'll get to the broadcast and how freaking awful it is. But he comes through with the RBI double. He comes through with the big home run. And if we're going to talk about Judge being Mr. May, and we're going to act like all that matters is the postseason, and you don't care about the fact that that guy freaking dragged them to the division title, and we're not going to talk about the fact or care about how great he's been. The best regular season of any right-handed hitter in, like, forever. The guy is an unbelievable talent.
He's going to win his second MVP. He's the best hitter in the world. And we're going to kill him for three games in the postseason that the Yankees have won two of them. So if that's how we're going to behave about Aaron Judge, if that's how we're going to treat Judge, then you best freaking love Giancarlo Stanton. And I don't want to hear any more about his speed, where he stole a base in this game. That's how smart now on things are right now. You're not going to pay attention to me? I can still run a little bit. But he comes through with that home run and wins this game. I don't want to hear about his legs. I don't want to hear about his contract. I don't want to hear about the injuries. I don't want to hear that they're better off without him. I don't want any more talk about Giancarlo Stanton except one friggin' thing. Get me to October and put him in the middle of the lineup. I've been saying this for forever, and we always forget it because they don't win the World Series. We always forget it because it hasn't culminated in a championship. It's almost like Giancarlo Stanton is kind of like having kids. You don't forget all the difficulties of it. You're like, oh, yeah, let's have another one. It'll be great. Yeah, and then you remember what it was like. Giancarlo Stanton, every single year, hits in the postseason. Every single year comes through with big home runs. 2020, since 2020, forget about it when he was in San Diego in the bubble, whatever you want to call it, in front of no crowds for that postseason run. He was unbelievable. He was hitting home runs every single game. He was killing it. He was the only reason he was the main reason they got through Cleveland. He was the only reason that they won a couple games against Tampa Bay. He was dominant. He was a force. In 2021, he dragged them to the postseason, hitting big grand slams against the Boston Red Sox down the stretch, hitting home runs against the Mets down the stretch, was their best hitter down the stretch of that season, and then in the wild card, hit two balls off the wall when nobody else was doing anything. 2022, he hits the three-run home run in the first inning of Game 5 against Cleveland that pretty much relieve us and give us a breather in that game and break that game open. He has done this time and time and time again, and yet every year we hear nothing about how he's killing us, how he's, you know, hurting the team. How much money the Yankees are so cheap. Steinbrenner's so cheap. He needs to eat this money and get rid of Stanton. I can't take it anymore. You got a pinch run for him in the third inning. You should, what did we hear after game one? You should DH Jason Dominguez, get him out of the lineup. Never again. That's it. If we're going to treat the postseason like it's all that freaking matters, if we are going to kill Judge and say we have no faith in him and that he's a bum and that he's an overpaid loser because he didn't hit in the first three games of the series, then Giancarlo is a freaking hero. And I never want to hear another crossword about him because this guy does it every single year. Every one. And that home run is a massive home run. They're on the road. They're going. The bullpen's done an unbelievable job. But if they don't hit that home run, they don't win this game. Eventually, the Royals are going to score, and the Yankees are down 1-2 in this series, as opposed to being up 2-1. That is a massive home run. And if Cole shuts the door tonight and the Yankees win, this series is on that home run. And I have no doubt he'll continue to do it. So that's the story of this game. And then you get to the bullpen. You know I'm going to praise about the bullpen? Get ready. You ready for it? How about the job of Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone and what they've turned this bullpen into that has been unbelievable in these first three games that have pretty much sealed the deal and have been the reason they won, whether it's Clay Holmes. And Boone is deploying them perfectly. You want to blame him when guys give up runs? Right now, he is deploying these guys perfectly. He's got Clay Holmes for the early innings to get them out of jams. Clay Holmes brought a stability, came in after those two runs were scored to tie the game, and got them through an inning and a third. Canely has done an unbelievable job.
I mean, and then, of course, with an aggressive nature, goes and gets Weaver for a five-out save. And while it was interesting a little bit, the Weave dog is unbelievable what he's turned into. So think about that. One, the manager has completely deployed them perfectly. He's gone to the bullpen at just the right time. Every single decision he's made has been the right one. He's gotten all the big outs. Clay Holmes continues to be a postseason phenom. He has yet to give up a run in the postseason with 12 innings under his belt now. He goes to Weaver for the five-out save. He gets the job done. So not only is the manager deployed them, but how about the general manager, who we get on, and I get on, for not doing enough in the trade deadline to bring relievers in this room? How about the guys who are actually doing it? How about Weaver, who had about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years in this league where he was one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball? They took one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball, brought him in here, and made him a five-out closer in the postseason. Or how about trading for Clay Holmes? Or how about finding Jake Cousins? Or how about finding Tim Hill? They didn't do enough at the trade deadline, but you look at this bullpen, it's another year where Brian Cashman has continued to piece together a bullpen out of freaking thin air. And right now, they've been the dominant force of this series. And yeah, the hitting needs to get better. They got one hit outside of Stanton. Stanton got three hits. The team got four. Volpe, who had a lot of good at-bats, they still had a ton of walks in this series. But with runners in scoring position, they had a big inning there for Soto and Judge. Soto gets a sacrifice fly. Judge flies out to the outfield. You know, they get the one run, but they're not breaking it open with the big hits. And that's what we feared about this team, and it's still a concern moving forward. Now it's three games. After game one, I told you, hey, they didn't really hit with runners in scoring position, even though they got some walks and scored the most runs they've scored in the series. And I said, hey, they still got the win. Cole wasn't good. They didn't hit with runners in scoring position. That's a positive win because if they don't do those things, the rest of the, you know, you're not going to win. But to take game one despite that, that's a positive win. Well, now it's three games, and we're still not seeing hitting with runners in scoring position. The at-bats have been pretty good. Volpe had really good at-bats. They're still walking a bunch. They're putting guys in position to come through. They just haven't. And that's not good enough. I'm not trying to make excuses. You got to come through. And they got enough, just enough, from Stanton, the sac fly from Soto, the bullpen. They got just enough to win game two. And they're going to have to do better with runners in scoring position. And clearly, Judge is going to have to hit. But I have zero doubt he will. He's too freaking good to be this bad for so long. Eventually, he's going to hit. The bullpen's been excellent. And they turn to their ace later today in a game four against Michael Wacha with an opportunity to win this series and move on to the ALDS. And I expect them to do it. I think Cole, coming off a rough game one, back on normal rest, I expect him to throw a hell of a game. But that's what it's going to come down to. This is going to come down to Cole, the bullpen, and Judge. And we'll find out if he can finally break through after some better at-bats in this game. But that's a good win for the Yankees. Clark Schmidt did his job. It was the right decision, and again, on Aaron Boone. They won the game. I mean, is there a chance Luis Gil throws 8 shutout? Maybe. But they went to the right starting pitcher. They've played the first base and left field exactly right. They've got the right guys in there. He's made the decision correctly with the lineup. He's made every single bullpen decision perfectly right. There was a spot in this game I would have pinched hit for Verdugo. He didn't do it, and he hasn't used that 6-man bench at all in this series. But Aaron Boone is having a terrific series. Terrific. He's doing a great job. The bullpen's been great. They showed faith in Clay Holmes when nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted him. People wanted him off the playoff roster. I can't tell you how much I heard. He'll blow a game. Wait until he blows a game in the round. Wait till Clay Holmes blows one. You know they're going to go to him. They're addicted to going to Clay Holmes. Yeah, he is. You know why? Because his sinker is one of the best pitches in all of baseball. That's why. And he's been great coming in big spots. Yeah, he's not pitching the seventh. He's not pitching the eighth. He's not pitching the ninth. He's coming in with, after they give up two runs with runners still on base to get out of a jam and then give them another inning. He's had some of the biggest outs of this entire series, Clay Holmes.
He's had some of the biggest outs of this entire series. He's been great. Canely was good in this game. Weaver was good in this game. The bullpen hasn't given up a run. They've completely shut down the Royals, and this offense did just enough to get a victory. Judge had better at-bats, and he will wake up. It's a matter of time, and they've got their ace on the mound later today, trying to pitch them into the ALDS and have both of these teams in this city playing in championship series, and I'm ready for it. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, I'm done hearing about Giancarlo Stanton. I'm done. We treat the playoffs like it's all that matters, then he should be everybody's favorite Yankee. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. So we've transitioned to Yankees. We'll take some Yankee calls. We're still clearly taking your Met calls as they clinch a trip to the NLCS for the first time since 2015. They clinch at home and win a playoff series in their building for the first time since 2000. And, oh, yeah, they get another clutch home run as Lindor hits a grand slam in the sixth inning to put the Mets up by 3 runs, a lead they would never relinquish in a series of games where they just continue to hit the big home run, to come through in the big spot, even in losses. Even when they lose, they hit late-inning heroic home runs to tie the game. Like, they are on some run, and they will take on either the Padres or the Dodgers in the NLCS, and hopefully the Yankees will join them there. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.